Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Joe Murphy. And Joe Murphy is a filmmaker, and he's also an environmentalist. So he has combined his two passions into making movies about the environment. So, Joe, what got you started? Well, first of all, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Great, great. So what got you interested in being, you know, an advocate for the environment?
Well, I guess the short answer is just watching the news. You know, I guess the longer answer is I grew up in a small town kid and spent a lot of time walking in the woods. And so, you know, I understood from a very early age that the environment is basically our world. It's not just, you know, something for chipmunks or for growing corn. You know, it's something we rely on for our very survival. And then getting back to, you know, reading the news, we're, you know, in the old days, my concept of threat to the environment was pollution, you know, more localized. You know, somebody's polluting the stream or polluting the field. But now we realize that with climate change and deforestation, entire ecosystems are under threat, and that's going to affect everybody on the planet. And so really it's just a higher level of urgency that I've come to realize, and a lot of other people have come to realize over the past couple of decades and past couple of years.
So what made you interested in filmmaking for your passion about the environment? How'd you get started doing that?
Well, it's actually combining two different interests. And I've always been interested in, you know, public policy and whether it's the environment or other political issues. But then kind of separately, about 20 years ago, I got interested in storytelling through media, through film and video. And initially, I didn't really tie the two together. And so my first film projects and video projects were just, you know, miscellaneous projects about whatever would catch my fancy. In the meantime, I went to law school and thought a lot about public policy and laws and regulations. And so when I decided to get back into filmmaking a couple of years ago, it just seemed like a natural fit to combine the two. So if I'm going to be making movies or making films or videos, and I'm really concerned about the environment, let's combine the two. And so I really started doing that in earnest about a year ago.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, yeah, about a year ago, I figured I'd start small. I made a funny little 30-second video about composting, lazy composting, and raises the question, can lazy people compost? And the video is basically me sitting on my couch eating a banana and reading a magazine. And then when I get to the end of the banana, I just go to my window, open the window, and dump the banana peel in the compost bin, which is right outside my window. And that's actually true life. I actually have a compost bin right outside my window because I am an environmentalist, and I'm kind of lazy. So I thought it was kind of funny, so I wanted to show people that, you know, through humor, just to get them thinking about composting. And that's, I guess, it's one theme that at least now I've tried to bring through my various works is humor. You know, I take the issues seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. And I think one good way to reach people is through humor, because if people are in your camp and, you know, in your tribe and they're with you, then you're preaching to the choir, and that's fine. But you also want to reach other people who may not be thinking about the issues that you really care about on a day-to-day basis, or maybe even disagree with you. And so help find some common ground, you can often reach them first through humor. Because if you're laughing, your defenses are down.
Now, you know, a lot of the landfills are pretty well filled up. And it's a problem, you know. People say, you know, by whatever year it is, there won't be any more room. But at the same time, that stuff that's put in the landfills, can that be used to create, if that's the word, fuel for cars and airplanes and stuff. So that, in other words, there would be less garbage and more fuel that we could use instead of depending on the Middle East and also fracking.
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess yes and no. I mean, yes, in that a lot of the materials that we use can be repurposed. You can make fuel out of certain food product wastes that are now being thrown away. I believe there are a number of programs in various cities where they're collecting, you know, used cooking grease and turning that into biofuel. Now, some of this is just taking the things that we already just throw away and using it. Some of it also would require kind of reformulating how we do things in our economy. And that takes a little some thought and restructuring. Some people, what they advocate for is to just burn trash. And while you do get energy from that, it can be problematic in that it can cause a lot of pollution. It can create, you know.
That's not exactly the solution to the problem.
Right. So reduce, reuse, recycle. That's one mantra you may have heard, and that's kind of a generality, but you can really apply that in a lot of different situations.
Now, this talk that by within the next 15 to 20 years, if we don't reverse what we're doing, we're doomed. What's your perspective on that?
Well, you know, I have studied a number of different things over the years, but I am not a scientist, so I do rely on expertise of not just one scientist or two scientists or experts, but it's pretty clear across the board. I think the percentage is something like, you know, well over 90% of scientists across the board agree that climate change exists, it's real, it's man-made, and this recent report, a couple of reports that came out recently by the United Nations climate panel, they came to the conclusion that we've got roughly 12 years, or now 11 years, by 2030 to get things turned around in terms of reducing our emissions, getting our emissions of greenhouse gases down to a certain level, or else some of the effects are going to be irreversible and catastrophic. So that's kind of the bad news. The good news is we actually have the technical capability to fix things. So the problem with the problems that are causing global warming, they are things that we can fix if we have the political will and we can come together and agree that we need how to change things, how to change our economy. We solar panels work, wind turbines work, growing our food in a different way. So we are sequestering carbon in the soil. That works. Getting our geothermal heat from the ground, that works. But a lot of people have a vested interest in how things work now, right? If you I've got a lot of money invested in oil companies or oil infrastructure or gas, then maybe you don't want to make that change. And so these are things we need to be talking about. And that's getting back to some of my media work. I'm working on a short film project now called Earth Day 2030, it takes place in the year 2030, and the plot is that climate change has gotten worse, and we're really looking at the social effects. How does it affect people? How are people talking about it? How are people reacting to this new world where things are, you know, we have a lot of climate disasters, whether it's hurricanes, whether it's droughts in other areas, causing people to migrate from one part of the country to another. And again, it seems like it's a terrible thing, and it is a terrible thing, but I'm using humor to tell that story. So it's actually a mockumentary, where it's, you may be familiar with this form of fake documentary, whether it's a TV show, The Office, or whether it's movies like Best in Show. And again, if I can get people laughing, then I can maybe break through some of the barriers and get people thinking about, what is it going to be like in 2030? Not just for us, but for our neighbors, for our kids, for our communities. And then let's go from there about what do we do today.
Okay, when you say 2030, if everything stays as it is now, if people don't change their habits, what will happen to us in another 20 years, 25 years?
Well, I think that you can, if you just, you know, go on a search engine and look for this United Nations climate report, you know, they come out with them periodically and update them as they get more information and more studies. And of course, we don't have a crystal ball to predict exactly what's going to happen in specific under all circumstances. But the consensus is very clear that there are a number of different things that are going to happen. The Earth is warming, and it's not warming uniformly. Some places are going to get much hotter than others. And so that's going to wreak havoc on habitats. Our glaciers are melting, which is going to cause sea level to rise. The oceans are getting more acidic, which is bad for the marine life. Species are going extinct. So there are a lot of bad things. And again, I don't mean to be a downer, because in the back of my mind is always, we can make this change. And you also mentioned one other thing, Cynthia, and that is, what happens if we don't change our habits? Well, in a way, it is personal habit, but it's really bigger than that. It's really about systems. It's about political systems and economic systems, because we all have individual freedom and free will and all that, but at the same time, we're all subject to systems in which we live, right? If you go to fill up your gas, or even to decide whether to have a gas car versus an electric or hybrid, that's going to depend on the systems that bring you $2 gas versus $3 gas versus $4 gas, right? And so these are things that we need to look at. Sure, that $2 gas, is that really reflecting the true cost? Because if the gasoline is imposing a dollar of cost on the environment for every gallon that you get, then maybe that $2 gasoline isn't really $2 gas. Maybe it's $3 gas, but the incentives are all messed up. So I think we need to take a bigger look at. That's one of the things that the Green New Deal is designed to address, and that is looking at the system-wide. It's not just we don't want to dump the burden on the consumer and say, individual people, you must, you know, recycle. You must spend a lot of money to go buy an electric car, and it's all on you. I think we really need to be taking a look at, what are the incentives? Are there subsidies that are going to harmful products and harmful industries like carbon-based fuels? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. There are billions and billions of dollars that are being devoted there. So anyway, there's a lot of big issues here. And so we're in the movie Earth Day 2030, we're not delving that far into the policy. What we're trying to do is to get people having these initial conversations based on what's the world going to look like in 2030, and how's that going to affect us? And in the year 2030, if we don't get a handle on climate change, a lot of people are going to be moving. And in the movie, there are people who came from Arizona because they ran out of water. There are people who came from Long Island because they get hit by hurricanes. So that's the level we're trying to address in the movie.
You know, as you drive or walk, you know, through Albany, you're going to see plastic bags all over the place.
Oh yeah.
And the little black plastic bags are becoming more and more prevalent. And you did a short movie on plastic bags. So tell us a little bit about what your movie is all about.
Sure. That was about a 3-minute video we did called Free Plastic Bags, or Free Plastic Bags Aren't Really Free, and that's the theme. And you're right, it's not just Albany when you walk down the street. Unfortunately, it's most places in the world, certainly most places in the United States, that plastic bags seem to be everywhere. And again, this is something where some people will say, well, that's just up to the individual. You know, the individual consumer should not be throwing their plastic bag on the ground or letting it blow away. But at the end of the day, is if industry keeps putting, you know, millions of or billions of plastic bags into commerce, And they know that 90% of those, well, maybe not 90%, but a large percentage of those are not going to be recycled. The vast majority of them are not recycled. I think it may be certainly over 80%, maybe over 90% of plastic bags are not recycled. So that's a problem. So what this video did was it's basically, in a hopefully humorous way, helps people understand that when you get a bag from the grocery store that you think is free, you're paying the cost in other ways. So one, the store has to buy that bag to give it to you. So, of course, they're not going to eat that cost. They're going to raise the price of everything else that you buy. Then, even if you do throw it away like the industry says you're supposed to, well, guess then what happens to it? Somebody has to take it away, whether it's your local garbage vendor or whether it's municipal garbage agency. Somebody's paying for that. Well, guess who's ultimately paying for it? You're paying for it in some way, either through taxes or utility charge. And they actually gum up the works in recycling because people just assume, oh, well, it's plastic. I can recycle it. And they throw it in with their recycling materials. But then when it goes to the recycling facility, it goes on this conveyor belt, and it just gums up the works. And literally every day, recycling facilities all over the country have to shut down their production line and have someone like crawl in and yank out by hand these plastic bags. So they're really bad in that way. As a matter of fact, I think it was just last year, a worker in Albany, a recycling facility, actually died because of an industrial accident when he was trying to take out these plastic bags from these recycling facilities. So that free plastic bag, it's not free. And that's what the point we try to get across in this 3-minute video.
So, you know, you make videos that are kind of, you know, small in length. 3 minutes. I mean, 3 minutes isn't going to give you a showing at the Spectrum or any other movie theater. So how do people see your movies?
Well, for the plastic bag video, you can go to Facebook, and our site is at No Plastic Bags NY, and there'll be a link on there for the video. And for the Earth Day 2030 movie, that's probably going to be about a 12 to 15 minute short film. We are going to be shooting that in June and then editing it during the summer and taking it around to film festivals later in 2019 and through 2020. And then we expect to have it available for online streaming towards the end of 2020 or thereabouts. And we also have the same story, which we wrote as a feature film. So if we do a good job with the short film and people like it, and if there's enough support, then we're contemplating coming back a year or two down the road and shooting it as a full-length feature film to show what happens in the year 2030 to a small upstate New York community when climate change has gone bonkers. What's that going to be like for the people? And we'll just take a deeper dive into all these issues. So hopefully that'll happen, and it'll be seen on the big screen in a theater in a few years.
Now, have you spoke to environmentalists in other parts of this country or state?
Well, yeah, I tell you, for the plastic bags in particular, there's a real strong network of people working on this issue, locally, statewide, nationally. One of the good regional groups is River Keepers. So if you go to riverkeeper.org, they are very good on a lot of environmental issues, including plastic bags. And fortunately, New York State did pass a law recently that bans most retail use of these plastic bags at retail stores, at your grocery or your local deli. Now, they left it up to each individual county as to whether they would put a fee on paper bags. And that's pretty, it's pretty clear that that's the best, most effective policy to get people to use reusable bags from home. And because that's really what you want people to do. Again, reduce, reuse, recycle. So if you're using the same reusable bag over and over again, that's going to be much better for the environment because you're not using these virgin materials on one end, extracting them and taking all the energy to make a bag and have that delivered to your store. And then you don't have to deal with the waste product by, you know, figuring out what, are we going to recycle it, or does it have to get dumped in a landfill? So if you can reuse it over and over again, that's the ideal situation. So now it's up to each individual New York County to decide whether they want to put a fee on paper bags. And that just kind of gives the people a little 5 cent, incentive, a little cue to, hey, don't forget to bring your bags. And once you really get into the habit, it's really pretty easy. You know, you leave a bunch of bags in the back seat of your car. Put them, if you're a bike rider or your walker, you can put them in your backpack or whatever you're going to use to bring to the store. So again, Riverkeeper is a real good organization. There's a woman named Jenny Romer. She is a plastic bag activist dynamo based in New York City. And let me give you her website. And she has a lot of good links on there about different environmental organizations that would help you if you're interested in getting in the area. It's plasticbaglaws.org. If you go there, she'll tell you all about the plastic bag movement. And you know, she's a lawyer, so she really gets into the nitty-gritty of, you know, what are the laws in California, New York, and other countries and other states and various places. And if you want to get involved, I'm sure you can get a referral there.
Great. You know, I know that organizations talk about what plastic is doing to marine life. Exactly.
Yep.
How bad is it that it's affecting all of our bodies of water?
It's pretty bad. And I just mentioned plasticbaglaws.org. And I'm on there right now, and they've got a link, marine impacts. You click on that, and it's going to have a lot of information. Here's one shocking statistic, which I've heard of a lot of places recently, and whenever I meet with elected officials or other people about this issue, I'll bring up this fact. By the year 2050, if we continue putting the same amount of plastic in the ocean as we're doing now, by the year 2050, there would be more plastic in the ocean than fish by weight.
Oh,
that's just
boy.
Crazy. Think of all the fish, all the whales, all the tortoises, all the dolphins. Take them all together, there's going to be more plastic by weight than all those fish and mammals. That's just crazy. So clearly, we need to do something about that. We need to reduce our plastic use. And again, it's not something we're going to wag our finger at individual consumers and say, it's up to you. We have to really look, why are all of our products made out of plastic now? Why are all of our products wrapped in plastic? You know, why are these manufacturers not responsible for the waste that they're creating? Because they have the ability, the financial ability, the planning ability to deal with these materials, or to ideally use more sustainable materials instead of plastic. And so I think that's really what we really need to look at, is what should our laws be? What should our regulations be? How should our economy be set up so that companies that are giving us, you know, products that we need to use have the incentive to make a sustainable product and not a throwaway product? So right now we have a throwaway economy. We need to change to a sustainable economy. So that way, when you go to the grocery store, you just think about what you want to eat or what you want to buy, and those products are going to be sustainable. And you don't have to think, oh, gosh, do I need to choose between a sustainable product and a product that's going to be bad for the environment, bad for my kids? They shouldn't be putting that burden on the consumer. It's just not fair, and it's ultimately it's not effective.
Now, you said you had gone to law school. Has your law training helped you in your filmmaking?
You know, I think it has, and vice versa, because right now I think of myself as a storyteller in different ways, whether I'm picking up a camera, whether I'm writing a short story, or when it comes to, you know, being a lawyer, there's a lot of writing involved. And so you want to get your point across. And maybe it's a legal brief. Maybe it's a press release. Maybe it's a research report. And so you want to persuade somebody, whether you're persuading a judge, whether you're persuading your adversary to change their ways, whether you want to get more information out to the public. And so being able to tell a good story comes in handy in all those ways. And then on the flip side, well, if I want to have a backdrop of the law in the stories that I tell about the environment, I have to ask myself, what do I want to get across? What is the goal of making this video or making this film? Do I want to make people laugh? Yes, but it's not just that. To me, making people laugh is just the entree to get people thinking about new ways of doing things, new ways of of living their lives or supporting policies. And so, for example, in Earth Day 2030, one of the issues that we're dealing with is internal climate refugee migration. Because, you know, right now, refugees, that's a big issue in this country, but right now the context is we think of refugees from other countries coming here, whether they should come here, how many should come here, things like that. But with climate change, that's not going to be based on what nation you're in. You know, if you're an American, you maybe end up a climate refugee. We saw that in California with the wildfires. We saw that in New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina. We've seen that in Puerto Rico with Hurricane Maria. And so most places in the United States, depending on how the climate, you know, depending on what climate calamity hits, you could end up being a refugee. Or maybe you might have refugees moving in to your community. So that's a serious issue, and that's something we address in the movie, and we put in a lot of jokes about it, not to make light of the issue, but just to get past people's barriers or maybe preconceived notions one way or the other about refugees and make them think, this could happen to me, this could happen to my kids, this could happen to my neighbors, or these people could be my new neighbors. And we're trying to do it in a funny way, but for a serious purpose. Yeah.
So if anybody wants to contact you, learn more about your films, or becoming involved with what you're doing, how can they reach you?
Well, maybe the easiest way is if you go to my we've got a website for the movie, earthday2030.com. And so I've got my contact information on there. We've actually got a short introductory video to about the movie. We've also got a crowdfunding site on Seed and Spark. It's SEED, seedandspark.com/fund, FUND, / Earth Day 2030. Now that's probably too long for anyone to remember on the radio. So if you just go to earthday2030.com, there's all sorts of links, you know, for my email, for my phone, for Facebook and all that, and also how to get Seed and Spark. Because we are trying to raise some funds to get this movie made. And that's actually going pretty well. We've got a lot of support from various people in various places, and we're just trying to get our budget so we can, you know, pay the cast and crew and rent the equipment and rent the locations and get this movie made next month.
Great. So would you be interested in coming back after you do your filming to talk about how it went?
Absolutely. Making movies is so much fun. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun stories about making the movie.
Okay, great. So, Joe, I look forward to talking with you after your movie is made. You've been listening to Joe Murphy. This is Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Joe, thank you for being on Focus on Albany, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.